this, for us, we're starting this today. We could have started on the first, but I thought, no, we'll start today, and we'll end in 3 weeks on a Sunday. And our goal is that Sunday, in the early evening, do a progressive dinner from house to house and end here with prayer. Okay? So be mindful of that. All right, I think that's everything. Let's pray. And these side lights could go on as well. Mike, no, there we go. There, all right, there's light. Father, we thank you. You're so good, so faithful. Lord, we are humbled by your presence. We rejoice. And so today, as we come before you, anoint your word, anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and then our hands and feet to do that you've called us to do. Help us not to just be religious, but to be relational with you. Holy Spirit, you have freedom here today. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said? Amen. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Well, our theme is for next few weeks, all in, but one of the ways to be all in, right, prayer and fasting. Right? What did Jesus say this kind only comes out by? Prayer and fasting, right? And he was talking to his disciples because there was a demon-possessed boy that they could not set free. And they were, Jesus, what do we do? He said, by the way, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. In other words, rather than a focus on us, because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm praying for somebody, I'm thinking, how is this going to look? Now, I may be the only one that does that, but I doubt it. How do I look when I'm done praying? That should be nothing, right? When we're praying for someone, it's all God. Amen. It had nothing to do with me. I'm a vessel. And I want to be cleansed and pure and ready, right? So there's two areas of scriptures I want to look at today to help us understand the idea of prayer and fasting. And the first area of scripture I want to look at is Matthew 21, 12, 13, and 14. But I'll preface it with verses 10 and 11. And when Jesus had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Now, this is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. He's coming in and knowing that his days are numbered. And as he comes in, if you've ever seen pictures of Jerusalem, the temple area, the walled city, there's a place that's called the Court of the Gentiles. And if this church was the temple, and the Holy of Holies was back here, and the holy place was here, and then around it would be, on this side, the Court of the Men, and out where the Welcome Center is would be the Court of the Women, and outside that would be the Court of the Gentiles. And that's where the non-believer, the uncircumcised, anybody could come, and they could learn about the things of God. Pharisees and Sadducees, religious leaders, would be in that area, and the goal was that they would be teaching the things of God. Well, Jesus comes, and the Court of the Gentiles was filled with people selling things for offering. Doves, lambs. And what they were doing was they were overcharging. Say two doves for a sacrifice would typically be maybe 50 cents. Well, instead of it being 50 cents, they were charging $10. And people would come in. It became a religious setup out there where people would come and some of the things wouldn't even be what they would call clean. They'd be damaged goods. And people would be lazy. They wouldn't come with their sacrifice. They'd think, well, I'll just bring extra money and I'll buy from those that are selling. So the sellers and the buyers were making it a ritual instead of about a relationship. So Jesus comes to this area. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out. Now remember, when it says into the temple, it was only the court of the Gentiles. He wasn't inside the temple. He was on the outer court where the Gentiles would be. And that's important to know because in the next couple of verses, we'll see the purpose for this. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold. So the people that were buying and the people that were selling, he said, get out of here. He drove all those out who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And this is what he said. And he said to them, it is written. I love when Jesus uses the word. We should too. That's why this is just a journal, but this, right, being in the Word, if that is because of this, I could turn this off and we could use the mic. Yeah? Okay. We'll switch over. Okay, great. That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word, because you want God's Word in your heart so that you can say to the enemy when he attacks you, it is written. Right? It is written. This is what the Word says. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. This is what the Word says. And Jesus says, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus said, this place needs to be a place of prayer. Why have you turned it into a place where, basically, he was calling the money changer thieves. And they were. Instead of 50 cents, 10 bucks. Then, now listen to this. It was all clean, right? So the court of the Gentiles now was cleared of all this noise and racket and selling. And now the people that needed to be there came. They're on the outskirts waiting, because it's so noisy. The Gentiles can't come, and if they want to pray, they can't get any closer to the temple than the court of the Gentiles. And they could do nothing. So it says, then, verse 14, say then. Yeah. Then, right? Then happened because the money changers and the buyers were gone. Then the blind and lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And he healed them. The blind and the lame were waiting. They knew that there's something special about being here. We're here to pray, but they're dealing with money and they're cheating and there's noise and we can't do that. Jesus cleared them out and they came and he prayed for them. And he began to get healed. They came to him, and he healed them. And the only way they could come is because he removed the obstacle. Church, there are obstacles in our lives that need to be removed so that we can be healed, whether that healing is physical, whether it's emotional, spiritual. There are obstacles that are kind of raging in us. And when we recognize, that's why communion today is so important. Examine my life, Lord. Here I am. What is it in me that interrupts a relationship with you? And so I would challenge you this morning, begin to ask that question. What is in me, Lord, that interrupts my relationship with you. Because the next thing we're going to be looking at is fasting. And that can be misunderstood on so many levels. And today I want to try to help explain what that looks like for us as individuals and for us corporately. Because it's not a ritual. Okay, we can make communion a ritual and there's no meaning to it at all. We can make prayer a ritual. We can make reading the Bible a ritual, right? Mark it off every day. All right, I did this. Now I'm okay. Right? It's not about you or I being okay. It's about him and I being okay. It's a relationship. I want to hear from him. When I pray, I want to talk to him. And I want to hear what he says. Do you know that God talks? Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times we talk too much. Right? We talk so much that we don't hear God. And then we ask him to talk, and I've been talking, but you haven't been listening. Let's make a decision beginning this year not to allow our relationship with God to become a ritual, not to become religious. I want a relationship. That's what God's about. He's about relationships. Aren't you glad that he knows each one of us individually? And he knows what you need and what you need and what you need. He knows everybody here and all the stuff that's happened in your life, in your past, in your present, and what's coming in the future. He knows that. And he wants to come alongside you and help you. Be the best that you can be. Aren't you glad? I am so glad. And so with that, he's given us tools to help us. His Holy Spirit, right? Remember that Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the one that will come alongside you, a helper. And he will reveal things to you. When we read the word, because this is living, what's so cool, because the Holy Spirit is in us, as we read this, he'll bring it back to our remembrance. All of a sudden, it's, oh, that word, that verse. Oh, yes, that's applicable for me right now. And this is what's so important about journaling, because when we journal, you read three chapters, approximately three or four chapters, and one verse, whatever one verse stands out to you, now you're going to journal that. Write that scripture down. What's your observation? How are you going to apply that? And then what will you pray in regards to that? You're building a system to have a relationship with Jesus, right? So it's not just reading and checking it. Oh, I've read those three chapters today. Life is good. But all of a sudden, now what I'm doing is I'm responding to that word. I'm allowing that word to become real to me. That scripture, that one verse that stands out, I'm allowing that to become real. And I'm going to turn this off and see if this works any better. Okay. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay. So that's what journaling helps us with. So I'm going to look at Isaiah 58. That whole chapter has to do with fasting properly. Here we are. So Isaiah 58, we'll start out in verse 3. Now, this is the people of Israel, first of all, starting out talking to God. And this is what they say. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not heard, right? You've not even heard or seen, excuse me. Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, now this is God responding. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. You exploit all your laborers, or you take advantage of them. So in other words, God is saying, you may say that you're fasting, but in reality, what you're doing is putting on a show.
indeed you fast for strife and debate. In other words, it would be like saying, Lord, let me win this debate. Or Lord, let me come ahead on this deal. So you fast for strife and debate. To strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. In other words, to talk to me, to hear me. You're fasting for your own reasons and your own purposes, and they're wicked. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Now listen to this. God is saying, is that the fast that I've chosen for us to be afflicted? And then he goes on and says, is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? In other words, what he was talking to is those people that made it an outward thing. Look what I'm doing. Oh, I'm beating myself. Oh, I'm so good. No, has nothing to do with other people knowing and how, oh man, I can't believe I fasted. I've given up this food or I've given up that. No, woe is me. That's not what it is. And see, people wanted to be noticed. And God was saying, this isn't for you to be noticed. But this is what he says. Is this, verse 6, is this not the fast I have chosen? Now, I'm alert right now, right? When I see that, I'm alert. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Okay, God, what is it? And he goes, to loose the bonds of wickedness. Yes, right? And so what is that? To get free from addiction and sin, right? Those that are around us that we see that are bound. When we set off to fast, we're saying, God, first of all, help me. I may have some besetting sin, whether it's alcoholism, drug abuse, pornography, gambling, I don't know, you know. But those things that keep us from him, God, set me free. Amen? Amen. Set me free. So he starts off to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, right? To have help to solve those problems, right? Have you ever felt just burdened? I don't know how to take care of this. God is saying, in this time of fasting, I want to help you to let the oppressed go free, right? Revival, souls to be won to Jesus, right? So there may be someone in your family that doesn't know Jesus. During this 21 days, make a point to pray for them. Right, make that a focus. I've got a sister who's still not saved. I'm going to pray for her. Lord, let Dina come to Jesus. Bring people around her life. Right? That's what he says. To let the oppressed go free. Then he says, and that you break every yoke. Right? Conquering mental and emotional problems. A yoke. Remember that there's a yoke that is good, right? We are yoked to Jesus. That yoke is what two oxen are held together with, a board that goes across, and they work together. But a yoke, a heavy yoke of slavery, is something you and I don't want. Amen? And so Isaiah, a prophet, is letting people know that true fasting helps these areas of our lives to be set free, to break every yoke. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Ah, those that are poor or in need, we are to help them during this time. For instance, I don't know what, and every one of you, I encourage you to choose something. In the past, I've chosen things such as the news, because I used to get so bound up watching and listening to the news that I'd fast that. But during this season, Julie and I have both decided to fast certain foods. I'm just doing a solid fast, so liquids are going to be my my meal of choice. But we will save finances. Well, rather than say, all right, vacation, right? You know, hey, we're not eating as much. I got a vacation. We'll put this over here for our next trip out. No. The response that God gives is when you're fasting, that you'd normally be spending or using, give that to the poor. See what I'm saying? So it's not all about me. It's about, Lord, I want to help others. And that's what he says here. It's, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? Sometimes that's a tough thing, isn't it? Right? We think, oh, I don't know if I want to, you know, help them. You know, if I give them money, they're just going to spend it on drugs or alcohol. Well, don't give them money. Get some food. Right? God, who can I help? Go to McDonald's or Jack in the Box or Carl's Jr. Make something and just say, I'm going to take this out and I'm going to bless someone. When you see the naked, that you cover him, right? Those, again, that are less fortunate, those are in difficult situations, how can we help? And not hide yourself from your own flesh. And I love this, verse 8, then. See, the things that we were just talking about, that happened then. So as I'm taking care of others, then your light shall break forth like the morning. I love that. You know, wisdom and insight to make crucial decisions, right? That, man, light, I'll have understanding. It'll break forth like the morning. What about this? Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Remember, then. I'm not fasting for that, but in the midst of my fast and my coming before the Lord and asking for wisdom, asking for vision for my family for 2020, for the congregation for 2020, right? And if I'm doing these things, then my light shall spring forth. Then healing shall come. And could that healing be emotional? Yes. Yes. There could be some areas in our lives. You know, we talked earlier about forgiving others, not holding bitterness towards somebody, resentment. Now, we need to be healed. Wouldn't that be wonderful that at the end of 21 days of prayer and fasting, you realize that you hold no animosity towards anyone? That you're able to forgive everybody that ever said or did something that hurt you? Hallelujah! Man, because Proverbs says that bitterness rots the bones. Our attitude at times is the means for our sickness. If our attitude is one of unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment, man, Scripture says it rots the bones. But a merry heart does good like a medicine. Okay? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Your righteousness shall go before you. Your righteousness shall go before you. So your testimony to others. Think about this. When you're living a life like what we're talking about, people will notice and there'll be something of your life that they're going to say, I want. Your righteousness will go before you. People will notice that. I want to be like that. I want a relationship with Jesus like that. Amen? The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Man, I want that. I want him behind me, in front of me, on my side, right? I want him all around me. Oh, Lord, please. And then verse 9. I love verse 9 through 12. I'm going to read through this because there's another then. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. Oh, so when I'm fasting aright, it's not to show everybody how stricken I am, but when I go around with a joyful heart, right, then you shall call on the Lord and he will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. I like that, don't you? If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, oh, they're just fasting because, oh, they're just like, stop that, right? Gossip, get it out right now. Gossip has no place in this church nor in your life. Do you hear me? If you ever want to say something about somebody, say it in their presence. Did you hear me? Yeah, my wife says in love. And that's true. That's true. Speak the truth in love. Right? If you can't do it, don't say it. And don't say it to somebody else. And don't pretend you're praying for somebody. Oh, I just want to pray for Jimmy because, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe Jimmy and his life and what he does. It's none of anyone else's business. Do you hear me? It's gossip. The pointing of the finger and the speaking with wickedness. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, here's another then, right? You don't get the then unless you do what precedes then, right? Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Think about depression in our lives. I mean, that's like darkness, right? Anxiety, worry. All that stuff God wants to remove from us. Then your light shall dawn in the darkness and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. I like that. I need a guide. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. Come on. I'm not getting any younger, right? Strengthen these bones, right? Come on. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water. Think about the refreshing water when it's so hot out. You'll be like that to others. You'll be refreshing to others. When we stop doing some of this stuff, the wickedness and the pointing of the finger and the gossip, when we stop that, right? Now all of a sudden, our words are going to be refreshing. Come on, Lord, I want that. I want refreshing to come out of me. So you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build. I love this now. Build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations, what, of many generations. There's going to be some restoration that's going to take place around you. And then he goes on to say, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach. Think about when Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem and the walls had been torn down. He went, and those walls are called the breach. And the walls were torn down, and he came back with the people after they were 70 years in Babylon. They came back and they began to restore the walls. Well, God is saying that as you fast rightly, you'll be someone that restores walls. You'll build up those things that are broken down. Now, I don't know about you, but I got some broken stuff in my life, right? I want those broken things restored. I want those broken things fixed. And this is one way that God uses to get us into a position and a posture to recognize that. Like when I'm fasting, especially for the first couple days, I begin to hear a voice. And the voice says, feed me, right? Feed me, whatever it is. When I was doing the news, I gotta find out what's going on, right? That voice. Now I recognize, because I've made a commitment, that that voice is not God, right? God is not saying, oh, I want to give you some food, right? Just watch the news or whatever it is that you're fasting. That's not God, that's me. And so I begin to recognize my voice, and I can discern the difference, because pretty soon, as I keep hearing my voice and I shut my voice down, then I hear another voice. And that voice says, I'm here. I'm enough. I'm more than enough. And now I get to hear his voice and discern that. And within about a week or a week and a half, pretty soon I'm realizing now on a regular basis, I'm hearing him more clearly, because I know what I sound like, and I shut myself up. Say, nope, I'm not going to do it. I've made this commitment between me and God, and that's just my voice saying, give me, give me, give me. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Church, we need to be a people that build down or build up broken lives. Okay? I know areas of my life that are broken. God, I'm calling you to fix it because I want to be whole, right? And I know I'm not alone. Right? I know that each one of us have areas in our lives that we just avoid. You know, if I can just put this, this is just my private little thing, not a big deal, but it's keeping us from a radical, powerful relationship with the God of all creation, right? I don't want anything in my life to get in the way of hearing God, because when you and I hear God and then we do what he says, man, we're fruitful. And I want to be fruitful. How about you? Yeah. I want my life to be a life that is fruitful. I want our church to be fruitful, right? I want each one of us to come here ready for all that God has for us, not holding anything back. So for 2020, church, would we join together and make a commitment and say, I'm ready. I'm all in. I'm all in. Whatever God has, I'm all in. And that's our theme. Mark 1:18, they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. The disciples were all in. They said, okay, this is how I've earned my living, but I'm leaving it. I'm going to follow Jesus. There are things in our lives that we need to leave and say, I'm done with that. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be all in. We have these shirts in the back. And Daniel and I, a couple weeks ago, you saw Daniel modeling one. We did this. We purchased the equipment so that we can even make these. So we made these, which was cool. We made these. So I want to say this, especially after the teaching this morning. Those shirts are for whatever you can afford. Genuinely, I'm being honest with you. If you say, I want a shirt, but I can't afford it, don't worry about it. No condemnation. Take one. We have extra small, small, medium, large, extra, extra large, and extra, extra, extra large. We do. Okay? If you want to know, this is a large, right? So this is how a large would fit. And we have 60 shirts. You may not be able to, hopefully everyone gets one if you would like one. Where's that little, I just have a little box here. I'm going to put that back there. And if you want to put in a donation, go for it. If not, get a shirt, right? It's not that big a deal. We don't want to make it, it's not a money-making event, okay? It's not, we just want to be all in. And then as you're walking around and people, what's that all in mean? You know, our logo right here, New Life, and then on the back, all in. You can tell them, you know what? Jesus asked the disciples to follow him, and they immediately left their nets and followed him. And I want to drop everything in my life and follow Jesus. How about you? Right? Let it be a witnessing tool, right? How about you? Is there something that you need to let go of so that Jesus can live strong in your life? Man, use it as a witnessing tool, okay? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to end. We've got refreshments in the community center. Again, fruits and vegetables. Hallelujah. Come on, I heard a couple of hallelujahs, a couple of other groaning, but that's okay. You'll get over it. If you want to go somewhere and get sugar, there's all kinds of places outside the four walls of the church to do that. But we're not going to do that, right? We want to help. Be mindful. Amen? Come on. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you that we have the opportunity to pray and to fast for the next 21 days. Matter of fact, if you're here today, some of this might sound really bizarre to you, and you might say, oh my gosh, I don't know about all this, because I don't know about this Jesus that you're talking about. If that's you and you want to know Jesus, you want to say, I'm done living a life trusting myself, I want to trust Jesus. If that's you, would you raise your hand that we could pray with you and just see you victorious? Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for your word. Lord, help us to be a people that aren't religious. We just want a relationship with you. And we know that you want a relationship with us. And so, Father, we thank you that you humble yourself, sent your son to die on a cross for us so that we could be free. I thank you for freedom in Christ. And so today, Lord, we give you praise and glory. And it's in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.